Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
It's gonna be alright. No matter what they say, gonna be a good day.
Good day time. Is a 7 after. What is there going on that you need to be aware of? I'm sitting in my studio looking out of the front pasture at the cows grazing on the green grass. I'm reminded of that old song, not a song, it's a tune by Hugh Masekela, Grazing in the Grass. You know that tune? Grazing in the Grass. All right. So let's get to our graze. Molly Page, Ken Kessler, and I are here to work our way through some of the issues of the day. Thoughts of things, all things Baltimore have been taken care of, it would appear. All things Texas have been taken care of, it would appear. Except I have a bit of a, not fascination, but an intrigue with this woman, Ms. Geller, who's running this organization of bigots. And so I'm trying to figure out, this is the maybe the old school in me, or this is the, in me. I find it hard to believe that a woman, this may sound extraordinarily sexist, but that so be it if that's the way it sounds, a woman would be running an organization like this. Am I the only one who's uncomfortable even thinking that, Molly?
Why?
A woman, I don't know.
Women
are
just
as capable.
Dumb as men.
Right, just as bigoted. This is a world of equality, and I guess as much as I preach it, I should, I don't know, understand or accept it, because it is a fact. And I don't know why I'm surprised that there's a woman running this organization. I guess I think
I
women are,
either.
In my own prejudice, I guess I think women are smarter than that.
In general.
Hmm.
But it's not like men set the bar very high.
Well, fortunately, most of the women that I've hung around with, I think, maybe the only reason that I liked them in part was because they were smart. I find that to be an intrigue.
Man who likes women.
Well.
And that's very likable.
I've enjoyed the company of women over the years. I've sort of narrowed it down to one, but it's taken a while to get there. And so under the circumstances.
You scamp.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, it means you've been around.
I have been around. Yeah, no, I've been around.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean anything. I don't. For this discussion, in terms of understanding what my feeling is about women, that women are, do I want to say this?
Come on.
In general, I think women are better than that or this sort of thing. I think women ought not to be thinking the way that woman thinks. Yeah. That's pretty much it. Under the circumstances, I don't know how else to say it.
Well, it's true, but I think, women need to take responsibility for a lot of things. The stupidity in the world produced by men, quite often, they wouldn't
get
away
with
it.
So this is a man's, the fact that this is a woman running this organization is because she's trying to get away from the entrails of being in a man's world?
Women are our own worst enemies, but I still blame men.
Really?
How's that?
Why does there have to be a blame game?
No, I'm just saying that the things that men get away with that we complain about, they really wouldn't get away with.
Remember that song, by Shirley? What was that woman's name who did the blame? The blame game. Me five. Oh, it's really called the name game, but.
Oh, is that like something from the 50s?
Excuse me?
I've never heard of it. I'm just asking.
Excuse me?
It was just a question. Innocent.
President Obama unveiled a nonprofit. This sort of folds in together to what I'm talking about here. President unveiling a nonprofit that will work in tandem with the My Brother's Keeper initiative that was created a year or so ago. My Brother's Keeper Alliance comes on the heel of all of this racial tension that has spread across our country. Did the president say when he ran that he would change and make relations better in our country? I don't really remember that. I'm asking. This is a legitimate Doug asks.
Hope and change?
Well, yeah.
He wanted change
about bringing people together. Was that supposedly bringing the races together, bringing income people who are the disparity between rich and poor or whatever the things are that we value that seem to separate us? Did he do that?
Kenny?
I don't remember him saying that. I think because he was a black candidate and potentially, at that time, potentially the first black president, I think that a lot of people assumed that that's what would happen if he were president.
So the fact that he said there had been a string of deaths of young black men, a slow rolling crisis, that in my mind is a shot at the white police shooting black perpetrators or potential perpetrators. Anybody else read it or hear it that way?
Well, okay. The White House first created My Brother's Keeper last year after the shooting of Trayvon Martin.
Right. And then there, how many? So I suppose you could look at it critically and say it hasn't done its job, because there are a lot more. It would appear the news media would have us think that there are many more black men who are getting victimized at the hands of white police than was the case before, even before the My Brother's Keeper Alliance came into existence.
No, I think, like we said before, I think more of it is just now caught on camera. Hmm. Before it was the police.
So it's no more of a, it's not a bigger problem. It's just that we see and are more aware of it.
I think a lot of people have different opinions on that. I think we're more aware of it.
Okay, so in that awareness, does the problem by itself or in a manner, or so by definition, get better? Or do you see what I'm sort of saying here?
It has the opportunity to get better because the truth is being told.
We're flushing this stuff out.
Yes.
We're shining a light, a flashlight where all the rats are. And
yes.
So under that circumstance, public opinion requires that the situation get better. Whether Obama can use his bully pulpit to make it better, or does he make it worse, or does he have no effect whatsoever?
I think shining the light on these things will make it better.
Mm. Has it already? That's debatable. But we know more about what's going on, and knowledge is power, and knowledge is the first step to figuring out what to do about these sorts of things. Because in a civilized society, which is supposedly what we think we have here, there is no room for the kinds of things that have been happening, whether they're the black situation, the extreme intolerance that some of these groups have for women, the intolerance that we have, and intolerance in general, never mind whoever the victim of intolerance is, there's no place for it in a positive, progressive society, I don't think. I think those are the kinds of things we have to, in my own naivete, those are the things we have to fix. Those are the most important things.
Why is that
naive?
How
we treat other people. How's what?
Why is that naive?
Because people tell me that I'm just not, I'm out of touch with what reality is, that people by their very nature are bigoted, or they're prejudiced, not bigoted. There's a big difference between being a bigot and being, we all have prejudices. I don't like the cold.
I think it's learned behavior.
Well, I learned not to like to be cold.
Bigoted or prejudiced behavior. I think it's learned, and that's the history
it's
in this
environment.
Country.
Whatever environment you grow up around is what you're going to buy for the most part, what you're going to absorb.
Right.
How are you going to feel?
I talked to a woman the other day, a black woman, and she had kids, a single mother in Philadelphia, and she moved them to Hawaii because she wanted them to be in a land where the native people had dark skin. And there wasn't prejudice against them.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was fascinating.
She could move to Baltimore. Or she's from Baltimore. No, she's from Philadelphia?
Philadelphia, yeah. But she was talking about how the East Coast is more entrenched in that way of thinking than the West Coast,
Hawaii.
There
are more bigots?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I find it to be more misogynistic as well.
Yeah, she could go to the Philippines. There'd be a lot of dark people there.
Well,
Micronesia.
That was the idea, to be in a land where the native people were cherished, rather than it being kind of shifted to white privilege.
Hmm.
And I think that, to me, that's what we're battling against here is
white privilege.
Well, it is in that, you know, most of the police forces, not in Baltimore, and I think it's changing, have been white, and we are conditioned to take the word of a police officer, they're sworn into service, against a citizen.
What happened to the police officer who died, this 25-year-old officer shot in the head?
He died.
Trying to question a man. I understand that. But what was the story behind the story? They were questioning a man in Queens What was it that they were questioning him about? What was the offense? The guy was arrested and charged with first-degree attempted murder. But why did they stop him in the first place? Anybody know?
I believe it was because he had a gun. He did have a criminal record. He had been in
prison. How did they know he had a criminal record when they stopped him?
Well, I don't know if they knew. I'm telling you what we know now.
But what was there about, was the gun in his hand? Was he aiming it at somebody? Was he holding up a store? What did he do that made the police aware of his presence and want to talk to him?
I'll have to look the story up because I don't want to give out false facts.
Oh.
I can tell you what I have on the top of my head, but I'm not sure if it's exactly
what it is.
Doesn't
have to be. Kenny, what do you have on the top of your head with regard to this guy?
They saw him and he made a movement that made them think that he had a weapon.
A movement like he reached in his pocket for the gun?
Like he had something in his waistband.
And what was the idea? Were they watching him sort of stalking somebody, or was he going to rob a store?
They were in an unmarked car somewhere in Queens, and he passed by.
Just walked by?
And it looked like he had a gun.
Well, that's enough to stop somebody, isn't it? Under the rules?
They identified themselves, and he opened fire.
Ah, okay, it's a good reason to shoot him. Okay. 19 after on Good Day.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Linda Kaplan Thaler and Robin Covell built a $1 billion ad agency. You probably know their work. They created the Aflac Duck.
What's their secret to big success? They're nice. In their book, The Power of Nice, they define what nice really means.
Nice does not mean smiling blandly while others walk all over you. Nice is the toughest four-letter word you'll ever hear.
They go on to say that being very nice and placing other people's needs on the same level as your own will get you everything you want.
People work with and do business with people they trust.
But before anyone will trust you, they have to like you. And we like people who are nice.
So be nice. It leads to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
The Movie Man 6-Second Review starts now.
It's fast. It's furious. It's totally bonkers. So buckle up because Furious 7 is a hell of a ride. I'm in.
6-Second Reviews are brought to you by Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron. Now playing in theaters.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. 5 proven methods today to totally discourage any female from ever wanting to experience the open road on her own bike. Today on American Biker Minute.
The Movie Man 6-Second Review starts now.
Ex Machina is a smart, cool, stylish, great-looking movie. Hashtag sexy robot. The main.
6-Second Reviews are brought to you by Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron. Now playing in theaters.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. How to discourage your lady from ever wanting her own motorcycle. 1. Never buy a chick hot biker clothing. It'll only whet her thirst for the open road. 2. Ignore the cool machines you both see parked nearby. 3. Keep her away from communicating with other lady riders. 4. Never teach her the basics. And the final way to discourage your lady from ever wanting her own scoot. Never divulge the secret that chicks who run on 2 wheels instantly look incredibly hot.
Hot girls in love.
P.S. None of this worked for me. American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road on 2 wheels.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Do you ever pretend you're someone you're really not? Well, researchers know at least 4 places where everyone puts on airs and tries to come across as better than we really are. Here's the science of it. Researchers have found that the following places prompt a change in our behavior for the better. For instance, at the front desk of a snazzy hotel everyone puts on airs, we take on the tone of the establishment. In the employment line, we try and pretend that we don't belong. In a new car showroom, we hold back, act as if we know what we're doing to get a great deal. Finally, in the principal's office, we're not responsible for any bad behavior. What's the cheap psychological trick? If these places bring out the best in you, then you're capable of behaving more responsibly other places, too. Has this ever happened to you? Drop me a line at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.